Sportscast, May 6, 2020. If you haven't, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net for the latest. Today's sponsor is Insta Bible app, Create Verses and Pictures. You can get the download on the iOS App Store. NFL outlines ticket refund policy. The NFL sent a memo on Tuesday to all teams regarding the ticket refund policy that will apply to games that are canceled or played without fans present, and that will apply to all teams for the during the whole coronavirus pandemic. And join us all the way from Rochester, New York, the epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic, Ryan Krista. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
We're doing okay.
Ryan, you're reception a little bit iffy, but how are things up there in Rochester?
So far, so good. You know, any real estate interest, so people are still buying some houses, maybe not the rate that they normally do, but they're still going strong. So kind of life is pretty normal job-wise. It's not a lot of the extra activities that come to know time of year.
Let's read what the NFL sent. They sent a memo Tuesday. They said all clubs will have in place a policy under which if a game is canceled or is played under conditions that prohibit fans from attending, anyone purchasing a ticket directly from the club will have the option of either receiving a full refund or applying the amount paid toward a future ticket purchase directly from the club. The memo from Commissioner Roger Goodell explains. Ryan Krista, are we going to see a lot of refunds?
We probably will. You know, I mean, it's kind of funny because you've got two sides of this. You've got the NFL coming out with their schedule release tomorrow night. So, you know, they kind of got that, you know, no fear, just going forward logic. And then you got the other side of, you know, if they do play games on time, which plan on, you're going to have either one or two things, no fans or fans. In only certain sections of the stadium or, you know, isolated from each other. So there's, or you see those games are totally canceled or they're pushed back at different dates. And NFL just kind of going over, you know, all their options, you know, leaving no stone unturned.
Which you pull up a good point. The Miami Dolphins said today that they're only going to sell 16,000 tickets, and they're going to have, you know, sections for fans and for the away fans, and they're going to have entrances and exits, like very designated entrance and exits for the stadium. That is a pretty good idea by the Miami Dolphins, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you'll see that from, most major sporting events, stadiums, you know, where you're going to see policies in place where, you know, you're limiting attendance and limiting access to fans to only certain areas. It just, you know, it's better than nothing. You know, I mean, we're sitting here in May with literally no, you know, major sports on the calendar for this month. So, you know, I guess we'll take anything, you know, at this point, you know, when, as long as it's played, you know, the games are going to be on TV, and I think that's really all we care about. You know, I mean, yeah, after watching, you know, some Korean baseball the last couple of days, no fans in attendance, you know, I'm getting used to it. So,
which we'll touch up with the KBO league a little bit later on this show, but I like what the Miami Dolphins are approaching. Of course, they got a huge asset in the draft, Tua Tagovailoa. But, you know, I was thinking either, you know, having no fans and playing at the training facilities, but that option going in between, having a good balance, you know, hey, we can't have the whole stadiums full, but if we can sell you, you know, 16,000 and, you know, do things, everything careful, of course, people will probably be wearing masks. This is a good solution. I mean, I like to see the Dallas Cowboys do the same or like the Buffalo Bills. I mean,
I think you're going to see an outline. We'll see what baseball does. Or summer, not spring, but summer. And then we'll see what policies they have and how things work. And I think you're just kind of just seeing how society goes, you know, as we move forward in the summer and states start opening, you'll see how, as we kind of start to restart things going again, you know, how does the virus, you know, is this, are the outcomes about the same, or is testing more prevalent? You know, are we able to, you know, keep this under control? So I think that's going to, you know, June and July are very important for the, kind of the outcome of the NFL and see where we go from there.
You think the MLB, I mean, I don't know about you, but the MLB, I'm not sure because I'm not really a baseball fan, but I'm not seeing them as being a model. Maybe more the KBO league, maybe more than the MLB. I think NFL can't wait on that because they got to play now.
You got two different, you know, countries, really. You know, Korea from day one has been very proactive. You know, always, you know, having masks and social distancing. So they're kind of ahead of the game of us, and they were able to kind of prevent, you know, those huge major spikes in, you know, the major areas. And, you know, that's why they're kind of able to go back to, you know, normalcy. What is normal look like for them right now is baseball. So that's their sport, baseball. MLB, you know, like you said, baseball is a different animal than football. Totally agree with that. And, you know, I hear, you know, during the day you'll hear, you know, major outlets reporting different, you know, solutions. You know, I don't know what's true or not true. I think no later than August 1st we'll see baseball. What that looks like, I'm not sure, but I think they'll definitely, how long the games will play, I don't know. I just think we'll definitely see baseball. I just don't know if it'll be in home stadiums, you know, or maybe just a couple of stadiums. And I think, you know, once we can get, you know, a solution in the sense of testing and keeping, you know, so I guess I think what you got to look at with baseball, and I think people are concerned that baseball players, is that they're going to literally lock themselves in a room, hotel room for, you know, a couple months, you know, and then all they do is just play baseball. So if there's more testing and more, you know, access for players to bring their families along, and I think that's going to be the best solution. I think that's what the players are looking at.
That's a good date. I think this is the first time I hear a date about MLB start. I think August would be a good date to start. Obviously, have a short season, and then have the playoffs start in October.
Two different things. You know, I think ideally what they would like is June 10th players report to where Arizona, Florida have a 3-week, you know, spring training, get back in shape, get pitchers. I thought they would start July 1st. That's too much wishful thinking, I think. I think August 1st is a little bit more realistic, and that's probably only going to be a 60-game, 8 games at the top season. And again, you know, what are you going to do? It's hard enough to play baseball in New York and Boston in October, nonetheless November. So there's definitely going to be some creative outcomes when it comes to the end of the season for baseball. But everybody's got to be creative. You know, this is definitely not – even when we get back to normalcy, it's not going to be completely normal.
In preparing for all elements of the 2020 season, including the schedule release, we have considered the unique circumstances facing us this year and have been clear that all our decisions will be guided by medical and public health advice and will comply with government regulations, Goodell writes. We'll be prepared to make necessary adjustments, just as we have in other contexts, just such as the off-season program and the draft. I believe the policies that clubs have in place will serve the league and all member clubs in a variety of ways and will allow us to continue preparing for the 2020 season while also protecting the interests of our fans. Now, the Dolphins are taking the initiative. Can the NFL mandate, hey, guys, you can only allow like 25% of your stadium full? Can they do that?
I think so. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, but I think, you know, the NFL is, you know, I think the owners have to come together, and there's got to be some sort of collective solution. I don't think it's going to be Roger Goodell making a solution by himself. It's got to be, you know, all 32 owners coming together and saying, if we want football, this is how it's got to be. This is what the government said. This is what the rest are. You know, there's going to be a lot of risk, you know, and I think the carrot over the head is the players want to get paid, you know, and if there's no games, there's no money. So I think you'll see the NFL players are very vocal, I think, in their opinions, but they're also just opinions. They seem to have very long when it comes to stuff like that because they talk a big game, you know, but like when it comes to the collective bargaining agreement, you know, all you see is, you know, online social media players say no, no, no. What happens when they vote yes for it. So I think you'll see a lot of outrage for players, you know, again, if the climate outside doesn't change. But again, I think the players want to get paid.
We'll see what happens. As Ryan mentioned, we'll be having the schedule released tomorrow night. And, of course, as expected, it'll be a full season schedule, 17. Of course, there will be a contingency plan, which I've heard that the latest will be start on October 15th, and the Super Bowl will be in late February. Of course, there's debates about the scheduling that will run into college basketball and other sports, but it's just 3 weeks. What's the big deal? Let's go into the Baltimore Ravens re-signed veteran Pernell McPhee. In effort to continue to bolster their already solid defense, the Baltimore Ravens have re-signed veteran Pernell McPhee to a one-year contract. The former fifth-round selection from the 2011 NFL Draft is working hard to return after suffering a season-ending triceps injury in 2019. This will provide Baltimore the missing piece to their defense that could have led them to the Super Bowl, a solid pass rusher. Was this a good signing for the Ravens?
Again, another solid move. I think this is a no-risk move. You know, if he doesn't pan out during training camp, that he's not fully healed, you know, they'll just waive him. But again, you know, if he gives you anything, he's a good leader, a solid tackler. And again, I think we talked about this last time I talked to you. You know, it seems that everything the Ravens do just seems looks really good on paper. You know, whether, you know, they for things, you know, are spot on. This is a team that wants to win and wants to win now. Even though they got a young quarterback, you know, the window's open right now. You know, I think they know the way they played last year. They might have one or two more years before the league kind of catches up and figures, you know, Lamar Jackson out. So, you know, you got to strike while the iron's hot.
You're saying Lamar Jackson has a time frame for him to be successful. Well, no, sorry, contract-wise. Not performance-wise.
Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, Lamar Jackson.
You know, he's a first-rounder going into his third year, so he's got, you know, two more guaranteed years, and, you know, and obviously they're going to pick up the fifth-year option, so he's really got 3 years left, you know, on his contract. So, you know, eventually, you know, if he stays on this course, he's going to have to pay up. So, again, the Chiefs want to become successful, and they're kind of paying these big contracts out to him. But Mahomes is because, you know, you're paying kind of minimum salary for, you know, the MVP of the league right now. And so is the Ravens. So you got to kind of make make good while you can. So, you know, you'll kind of overpay for everybody else. You bolster up your roster, and you take advantage of it, you know. And then when, obviously, you're going to choose your quarterback over anybody else, so just like the Chiefs, they're going to choose Mahomes over anybody really on their roster. So, again, they're going to pay a lot of probably total roster go down a little bit. And same with the Ravens in a couple of years when they got to pay Lamar Jackson. So, again, there's two theories. You know, this theory of where I'm saying I think Lamar Jackson is a special brand of quarterback. He doesn't play it the traditional way. He's kind of a run first. Doesn't mean he can't think he and I think they're putting weapons around him. But again, he's not Drew Brees. He's not Tom Brady back there. You know, he needs his legs to be successful.
He's more of a Michael Vick.
Yeah, he's across, you know, I mean, he's definitely more polished passer than Michael Vick ever was. You know, Michael Vick had an amazingly strong arm, but when it came to accuracy, it wasn't there all the time. But, you know, I don't think Lamar just is he just that acceleration, but he's definitely, is better than average. He's more than average at running. As a quarterback and can make plays, I think, the Ravens to be successful for the long term, he's got to start turning, using those ways to extend the play and get the ball downfield again. What player is getting bigger and stronger on the defensive side? You can't guarantee your quarterback running all the time. So, they're trying to give him the solid weapons around him. And so as he becomes that better passer, and they're hoping, his consistency will be there over time, that he'll, start to work to throw the ball more than run the ball. But right now, I think that's the formula. That kind of that college, option, you run option that, it's different than the Drew Brees or Tom Brady has. They don't, because they're not going to run the ball. So you kind of, again, you got to check with Aaron's on. I think the Ravens do know before the league figures it out, or they got their windows open for a championship, and them and the Chiefs are kind of really separating themselves from the rest of the NFL. But just to kind of just the NFC, the AFC North in general, what an interesting division. The Ravens, this well team needed a backup quarterback more than the Steelers last year, and they haven't yet to address that. I guess they really do believe in Mason Rudolph, but I think they gave him plenty of chances last year. And again, I don't think he's that bad of a quarterback, but I don't think Ben Roethlisberger has got the capability to play 16 games in a season right now. I think probably time.
Ryan
You know, the Bengals, who just drafted Joe Burrow, whether they, I don't think they'll win a lot of games, but I think the excitement level there in the future looks really bright if all things come together for the organization. And then you have the biggest question mark of all is the Cleveland Browns, the team we thought was going to take the next step last year, and they took two steps back. So, what, but I think, you're going to get better coaching. I think that they can just, keep Odell Beckham in line. Again, another quarterback who can run and throw the ball. They got weapons running. I think that's a really solid defense on paper. So again, if you want to see what teams really dismantled the Ravens last year early in the season, that was the Cleveland Browns. So you could see the potential of this team.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, Ravens had a great draft, so things are kind of meshing well. And Lamar Jackson was in the same class as the big, I mean, like the very same class with Baker Mayfield in the NFL draft. Frank Gore has signed a one-year deal with the New York Jets. Gore, the third leading rusher in NFL history, kept on churning in his 15th season, passing Barry Sanders on the league's career leaderboard in 2019. Gore has 15,347 career rushing yards by the end of last season, trailing only Emmitt Smith and Walter Payton. Ryan, you've heard of Frank Gore. What are your thoughts about him signing the Jets? Jets.
Thanks for everything, Diego. When he passed the Sanders last year against the Broncos in Buffalo. So this guy's an ageless wonder. Again, I didn't, it's kind of the guy people forgot about on the free agency market. Interesting that he stays in the AFC. He's at the, last year he kind of started off strong. Slowed up, I think, slowed down a little bit as, when your rookie running back Devin Singletary kind of picked things up. So, I think he filled the role that they needed to last year, and that's kind of groomed Devin Singletary to be the bell cow for the, those coming up. And then also, this is, I think, a good situation. The Jets are a team, I think, I never could fill that role as, that part-time running back. Again, I don't think he's going to really throw the rock, 20 times a game anymore. But he's definitely a player. I think he's got some something left in the tank, and I think part of him, two things. I think he really would like to become an all-time leading rusher. So I think he would like to play with his son, who's coming up very soon into the couple more years before he's in the NFL. So interesting, you don't ever see too many father sons in the NFL. But again, you know, the Jets got Le'Veon Bell, you know, so this is a guy, you know, in short yardage situations to kind of toe the rock. You know, I think that's what Frank Gore can give you right now.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, question marks about why didn't the Miami Dolphins pursue him, or why didn't, you know, Tampa Bay, because they just have Matt Breda, which people are saying is not enough, even though the Buccaneers have a great receiving squad. And just as Ryan said, his son is entering his freshman year at Mississippi this season, so he has, like, you know, 2-3 years to get to his father, which I think his father wants to be around. He wants to break that, not break a record. It's not a record to have, you know, father and son in the same league, but has never been seen before. Of course, Frank Gore is a Miami native, so I know him really well. But why didn't Tampa Bay sign him, or like the Dolphins?
Because I think Tampa Bay would have made sense. The Dolphins, I think, when you got, they're not looking to sign any old veteran players for the short term. I think the Dolphins just see everything they're doing, not for this year, but beyond this year. So, again, I don't know if the Jets make a total sense. I don't see for a little further along than the Dolphins, I believe, but who knows? We'll see when the games get started. The Tampa Bay would kind of make sense because adding Tom Brady to that offense, you know, makes them from a, you know, a 500 football team to at least, you know, in the contention to win the NFC title. So I guess, you know, I don't know if Frank Gore has a chance. So I don't know who, you know, this late in the ball game, you know, kind of after, you know, a couple months of free agency, you kind of, I don't know how many opportunities he had. The Jets might have been the first team to call him. So,
and well, why didn't I, and like, why do you think the Bills didn't re-sign him?
Well, I think the Bills looked, you know, he filled that role. He groomed Devin Singletary. He did, you know, they wanted to get younger at the position, and I think they wanted the future. That's why they went in the draft to get a running back. I don't think it's anything against Frank Gore. I think it just they saw at the end of the season that it wasn't a whole lot left in the tank. So I think, you know, the Bills want to keep playing beyond, you know, I think Gore can give you 16-plus games of that. Yeah. Leary, you know, again, you know, most running backs by 30 years old are retired. And you got running back who's carried it so many times at 37 years old. There's just a lot of question marks. He brings more of a leadership, so maybe his character will shine off on, you know, a player of a questionable character like Le'Veon Bell. So I think maybe that's what the Jets were thinking. So I, again, you know, I think there's probably more question marks than answers with me.
But
you know, who's a fantastic player, yeah, had a fantastic career.
You know, he's turning 37 on May 4th, in a week. He'll be turning 37. He has no indication that he tends to retire, so we'll see how things go with him. Before we end the show, I do want to get your opinion over Andy Dalton going to Dallas Cowboys. What does that mean? Kind of similar question of what I asked about Frank Gore going to the Jets. What does Andy Dalton going to the Cowboys mean? What are the Cowboys' intentions? Andy Dalton is still in his prime. Dak is still the starting quarterback. But what do you see in this move?
I think that puts a lot of pressure on Dak Prescott. It's a very interesting move. You know, again, you know, he's from that Dallas-Fort Worth area, played at CCU. So
he has a home there.
It makes sense there. Yeah, so, you know, homecoming, it makes sense. There's a little bit of animosity him and the Bengals. Not that he didn't think the Bengals should release him. It's just the timing of it, you know. If he gets released a couple of weeks ago, you know, when free agency first started, you know, maybe he lands a starting job. Maybe he gets a bigger paycheck. I think he was a little upset about that, but getting $3 million to be a backup quarterback and becomes a starter, you know, he can make $7 million. You know. I think he just kind of wants a shot. I think obviously he's coming in knowing he's a backup and Dak's job to lose. Like, the Cowboys, you know, I think they really just want to see what he can do as a starting quarterback. And the regards of Dak Prescott, you know, under fire. You know, I mean, it's this year a bust. You know, they've got drafting CeeDee Lamb. Well, you know, you got Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and like, you've got enough options to win the game offensively. You know, can Dak take a step up? And, you know, if it doesn't after a couple weeks, you know, it's not a bad thing to be able to turn into a veteran quarterback like Andy Dalton. And then it kind of proves to ownership, this is why we're not paying you all that money, Dak Prescott, from him. So, if you're asking who has the most pressure as a quarterback, I think you.
And that's Dak Prescott. He has the most pressure of any quarterback in the NFL right now, according to Ryan Cresta. You still there, Ryan?
I'm still here.
Yeah, you went off a little bit on reception. And lastly, the Bundesliga has announced that they will start the league. It's a soccer league in Germany on May 15th. Bundesliga is Germany's top tier of professional soccer, is set to restart competitive play on approximately May 15th, according to Reuters. The government is expected to approve the restart of matches without fans in attendance under strict conditions. Ryan, we got a major league starting off very soon.
Yes, I mean, it's exciting. You know, it's high caliber soccer that, you know, we get to watch. You know, I don't typically watch a whole lot of it. I'm more of an EPL guy, I think, just like Hugh Santiago. But it's not that I don't like Bundesliga. It's just not as available usually on a weekly basis as, you know, the EPL is. But it's just because, like we said, the Korean baseball, you know, these are testing grounds, you know, for civilization to see how. I mean, how players react. You know, I've seen a little bit of pushback from a couple articles, but I think overall, I think Germany as a country is very excited. I think the world is excited to see some more, you know, high caliber international sports.
And there you have it. Bundesliga probably starting in mid-May, not at the latest May 22nd. And just like Ryan said, the Korean League will be starting off again. And ESPN has reached an agreement to air games from the KBO League, the South Korean baseball league, the professional baseball outfit in South Korea. This is something that I don't know if it's a desperation for sports. The Last Dance, you know, like, was not enough, but the KBO League is starting. Have you decided on which team you'll root for?
I don't know if I decided on a team, you know, this morning while, you know, getting dressed for work. Again, it's just good to watch live sports. You know, I don't, you know, usually, you know, with, you know, Korea and Japan, and we do have a couple American players over there. So
I didn't know that.
Actually, you know, a lot of, you know, when you got the players who are, you know, no longer able to get to the major leagues, you know, and they don't want to play that grind of Triple A baseball.
Yeah, which is very similar to basketball. But, you know, players go play in Turkey or in China.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, you know, the international basketball over in Europe. That's how, you know, the baseball is over in Asia. Kind of the same idea, you know, the same way the NBA feeds off young Europeans. Is the same way baseball. Those big contracts just to come over. That's why baseball in America. So there's that of appeal, you know, to this league. You know, I think it's not Major League Baseball. It doesn't have the same quality of ball, but it's definitely quality baseball.
ESPN will air 6 games a week, starting with opening day, the NC versus Samsung Lions. On Tuesday, March 5th, which was yesterday at 1 a.m. And then as part of the agreement, ESPN will become the exclusive. Go ahead.
I said I didn't make it to yesterday's opening day, but like I said, I watched a little bit this morning. So I think 5:30 first pitch.
Something they need to cover on SportsCenter, because all they're covering is old Chicago Bulls games.
Yeah, I feel that. You know, I mean, they're doing their best to try to. Obviously, they're talking a lot of NFL, but I mean, there's only so many you can talk about non-playing issues. It's a little bit different. Obviously, it's not something people will follow once, you know, American sports are back on, but it gives you that feel of a live professional sports again.
ESPN will become the exclusive English language home for the KBO League live games and highlights for the 2020 season. The deal includes the postseason and the Korea Series best of seven championship. Anyways, KBO League is definitely the number one league right now in the world. Who's there? I heard someone in your phone. We're getting a lot of interference there. Anyways, this comes to the end of our show. Ryan Krista, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about the Samsung Lions?
Mad Dog Report. People don't, you know, this sports are coming, you know, again, the main network. NBA just canceled the season. Let us restart. Hopefully October or November.
Oh, you're saying to cancel the NBA season?
Yes, please.
I think there's more of a push for that lately. Obviously, like the other plans was played in one location, like Vegas, Orlando, or in the Bahamas. But I think a lot of the players are saying, I mean, even some players are saying they just want to cancel it. I mean, it's kind of too bad because, you know, you were seeing like the LA Laker team, rising up. But I guess you're just going to have to rest up.
I'm just hoping, you know, I mean, here's the problem, San Diego. We keep pushing. San Diego was by, really, with no close to any resolution. I mean, if you come up for a resolution tomorrow, you're still not playing until June. So every day we're pushing it back to the middle of June where you're restarting the playoff. And that means you're pushing back the draft. You're pushing back the start of next season. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'd rather have close to a full season next season, you know, and then that's where I feel, you know, it'd be nice to have, you know, this crunched into this summer, you know, blitz, but again, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right in a way.
And you can see all these new stories at thesportscast.net. We'll be covered today at thesportscast.net. And of course on Twitter at thesportscast1. Tomorrow night we have Justin Riley and Joe Bag of Donuts from Pittsburgh to discuss how did Pittsburgh do during this draft, NFL draft. And, of course, would they agree on Ryan Kirst's assessment that Roethlisberger cannot play 16-game seasons anymore?
And we have to ask Mr. Joey Bag of Donuts what his favorite Cremante Brothers sandwich is.
That is a great question. I'll definitely include that in the random question segment of tomorrow's show at 6 p.m. live Eastern on Periscope or on YouTube or on the Twitter feed. You're able to see it at the Sportscast 1. Ryan Krista, any closing words before we head out and eat some lunch?
You know, again, it's good to talk sports. You know, there's NFL's never ending. Excited to kind of have that hope tomorrow night that we would.
Savings? Market?
Dream of that, you know, until, you know, we hope, you know, the states reopen, that things stay low and stay calm, and that we every day we get closer to normalcy and not go back to the other direction.
And there you have it. Ryan Krista, always a pleasure for you coming on to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago.